This is Enterprise Clients Podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Matt Middleton-Leal, who is the Managing Director of EMEA North and South at Qualys. We will be talking about the value of Risk Operations Center for an MSP. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here. It's always risky to call yourself an expert. I'll start with that, but I'll say I've been around the block a couple of times. I'm Managing Director at Qualys, as you say. My role is to bring together the field teams to help deliver our technologies to our customers and ensure they gain value from those technologies. From a historical past, my background is I've worked for managed service providers such as IBM and what was Semma Group. I've worked for software companies and I trained as an engineer in my earlier years. So I've had a pretty varied background. Most of the last 20 plus years have been in cyber.
Insurance companies are maturing their attitudes towards cyber insurance policies, especially they're looking at risk factors associated with that. Companies from SMEs to enterprise need better ways to identify and quantify those cybersecurity risks they face in order to align with insurance policies they're getting. What are the challenges that organizations face when measuring and monitoring risks in business today?
It's a pretty broad question. Make that statement up front. The basic premise of understanding risk is understanding your assets, from all your digital assets, and that may be from a human perspective as well as from a technology perspective. If an organization doesn't understand what assets they own and what services those assets provide, it's very hard for them to pin the tail on the donkey, if you like, and work out what risk is inherent in those assets that they have. If you are then an insurer and you're coming in to look at that business and you ask a simple question is, do you know where all your assets are? And you get any point of hesitation, then I would suggest that's probably not a great starting point for that conversation. Measuring the risk is first understanding what it is I'm trying to measure. Then you move on to how on earth am I then going to measure it?
When you talk about risk, are you bounding that? Because if you talk to most SME leaders, they're going to say, well, risk is a lot broader than just security. It includes marketing, it includes finance, it's operations, and all the other things which business leaders would normally associate with risk.
You're 100% right. From the Qualys perspective and what we are bringing to market, we're not suggesting we are the holy grail. We're not going to solve everything for an organization. What we want to be is laser focused on that technological risk where historically it's been very hard to calculate what that means to a business. So understanding, as I started talking about, number of assets, then what is on those assets, what inherent risk is on those pieces of software, on the code that's being manufactured, on the way in which your staff are interacting with those technologies. So it's a whole stack in that space. But it's not, as you say, we're not looking at the financial risk in the markets or the risk of an employee leaving. But we are looking at calculating that technological risk from a financial perspective. We are overlaying onto that data around what is the impact from a technical perspective on the financial side of the business. At a very simple level, if a exploit were to be exploited, could it take down the trading application? Could it take down their website where they generate the majority of their revenue from? It's aligning those two, so the business and the technology together, to allow people to make a sensible business-driven decision.
When you're talking about technological assets, could you clarify what you mean by that? Because that's, again, can be quite broad.
Yeah, I use it in a broad sense because it truly is. It's everything from an employee's mobile phone up to a mainframe and everything in between. It's their websites, the code that they're building for their applications. It's their DevOps pipelines. It's the whole end-to-end life cycle of how they deliver their business. Because most businesses today, in one shape or form, are technology companies. Even the guys and girls out there doing home developments, they're using some sort of cloud application to help them do their billing. They're using ordering systems online. Everyone is using digital in some way, shape or form.
You mentioned coding, which is a soft technology. I'm assuming you include data within that as well.
We don't, as Qualys, look directly into the data. We don't do that kind of deep data analysis of looking for PII and all that type of capabilities that some of the vendors do that. But what the technology that do that analysis, they come up with risk factors. They'll say this asset, for example, has a significant risk associated to it because it stores corporate data. It has some intellectual property on that device. That automatically should then mean that device becomes a higher business priority. And if it's a higher business priority, and then we do detect some malicious code or some malware, or maybe it just hasn't been patched in a while, or maybe it has been patched but not rebooted, which, God forbid, happens far too often, then you need to be aware of that as a business, and you need to be able to contextualize that risk and articulate it back so that you can get the appropriate changes made to remove it.
The Qualys ROC is obviously being targeted initially at enterprises, and obviously they have the resources to deploy and run or look after those. But what about smaller companies? How do they approach having a ROC or having access to a ROC? Because they just don't have the resources or the skills necessarily internally, I would imagine, to run it. They've probably got one person on security in some cases.
I think you have to pull it apart a little bit in terms of what it's actually delivering. It's enabling organizations first to measure the risk in their business. And whatever size of organization you are, you need to do that. You may have a partner assisting you. It's not a mission to solve on your own. So they'll be measuring that risk. They'll then be articulating it in some way, shape or form, whether it be to a privately owned business or a VC or local council or government, whatever it may be. And then importantly, it's remediating. Now, all of those functions already exist today in most businesses. They're kind of doing it today. The piece which Qualys is helping and why this is so important for SME and SMB businesses is we're providing automation to that. So we're enabling organizations who don't have the massive manpower behind them to actually benefit from some of these technologies and some of this more joined up approach to driving these processes to drive down their risk level.
When you say automation, isn't it also quantification? Because a lot of businesses don't really have an accurate view of what the risk actually is, and certainly can't necessarily put those financial metrics against it. So how do you actually calculate those financial metrics and surface them to people?
That is a topic all on its own, cyber risk quantification, and I don't pretend to be an expert in that space. But I think most businesses today, if they took it to the highest level, because if you don't have loads of manpower, you're not going to be able to do a deep dive CRQ exercise. You're not going to be able to spend weeks analyzing the financial risk of various types of exposure, ransomware or data loss, etc. You're going to have an inherent risk profile. You're going to say, as a business, we generate 10 million, let's say. With that 10 million, how much of it is associated with a digital platform? And we're talking really broad brushed here for the small business. So if my business got hit by ransomware and we couldn't operate for a day, 5 days, what is the potential likelihood and what is the potential financial impact of that happening? And those numbers, that is a not done by Qualys, by the way. That's done by our partners and done by our customers. They then take the data output of those calculations and put them into the capability that we're building around the risk operations center. And then the technological risk gets overlaid onto that. So that's how we do that. We're not coming up with that financial data. We rely on the organizations to do that themselves because they know their businesses way better than we ever do.
What do these partners bring to the table?
Cyber risk quantification, if we start at the very top, that is a very mathematical exercise, typically, let's say. So it's a particular type of partner or organization that would do that. But around the ROC itself, we actually see four sets of services being delivered by our partners to help customers be successful. And the first one of those is that risk quantification, because if you can't measure it, and again, it might be a very broad brush measurement, or it might be a very detailed business unit analysis in terms of associated risks. That's service number one that they can bring. The second one is, how do we actually help the customer or our joint customer get value? How do they onboard them into these capabilities so they can start to be successful? Once you've done that, they then move on to the third phase, which is, okay, we've now got you up and running, and now we need to monitor that and ensure you're getting the right value from the platform. And the final piece is the most important piece, in my opinion, is then once you've found all these problems, who's going to go about fixing them? Because if all you're doing is reporting the news, you're not actually adding any value. Just building dashboards is wonderful, but if you're not ultimately driving down the risk from the data you're gathering, you're wasting an awful lot of money on some pretty dashboards. So those are the four service areas.
When you're talking about quantifying that risk, what elements do you look at? Because there's things like reputational risks, there's impact to revenue, which you can calculate. Are they covering all across those areas?
Depending on how they do that analysis or that CRQ, it could take all those elements into account. I may challenge you a touch, if I may, and say, when was the last time you moved a service from a provider because they had been hacked or had a data loss incident? Because it's happening to so many organizations now. So the reputational damage, I'm not sure it's as big a thing as it used to be because it's so prevalent.
Fair point, but I think if vendors are questioned more by consumers, and it depends on what is broken into, what's taken. If it's PII information for customers and their identities are stolen, that becomes slightly more serious if somebody does something with those identities that are stolen, which isn't always the case, of course. And it's how quick they're remediated as well. If you're a partner or an MSP, people within the organisation that generally you're pitching this to, because is it always the IT director, or does it actually start at a higher level?
It's a little bit of a tricky question to answer, and I'll tell you why. It's because it depends on the scale of the organisation that you're pitching it to. Because some organisations, for example, won't have a CISO. They might have a head of technology. You've got to look at the person who's ultimately responsible, whose neck is on the line, if you like, for when things go wrong. So that's the person. And that could be multiple roles, depending on the scale and size and jurisdiction of that organisation. The traditional one, if you look in the mid to large enterprise, would be you'd start with the chief information security officer, because ultimately they are signing off and they are having to articulate that risk back to the board of directors. And this is where this becomes really powerful, because if you can empower them to have accurate numerical data that allows them to measure the risk and the remediation required to mitigate it to a level which is acceptable, because obviously we're not suggesting for a moment that we're going to remove all risk, because that would be daft. You get laughed out of town. What is that data you can help them derive to have that conversation to be more successful in their role? So that's where we typically start. The flip side of that is then when we turn around to them and say, and by the way, we think remediation is incredibly important in this conversation. Don't think because you're the CISO, you don't own this problem. It's IT ops problem to fix these things. If you go down that road, it's going to become difficult. Now, 4 years ago, when we started sharing this message, people weren't buying into it. But I can tell you that last year alone, we deployed 105 million patches through the Qualys platform, through security teams. So I would suggest that perception of who owns the problem is shifting. And then that's about communication across the business, so empowering people to be more collaborative and actually solve challenges.
Do you think there's a wider recognition of the impact of security breaches and risk you're servicing?
I do worry people are getting a little bit blasé about it. I do worry because it's happening so often that it's now, we're insured for cyber, put cyber insurance in place. Do I really need to worry about putting in technical controls at the same level? Do I need to continue my level of investment? I do think there is some of that in the marketplace. I think the UK government has done a great job in driving Cyber Essentials Plus, keeping it top of mind, giving businesses the knowledge and the information of how to go about solving these challenges in a structured way. That's been a big help. But we need to help organisations change the mindset by helping them solve some real problems, because to date, I fear we've spent so much money and so much time and we haven't seemed to solve the problem. Based on the ransomware statistics out there, people are getting a little bit disenfranchised.
I started the conversation talking about insurance companies. How are insurance companies changing their messaging to clients around this? Because when I was buying insurance policies, it was just bought a sum, just pluck a number out of the air and say, right, insure me for this. The impression I'm getting is insurance companies are getting a bit more savvy around that to protect their own profits, obviously. But what are they doing to help the customers? Are you seeing a change with it from the insurance companies? And what kind of change are you seeing?
This isn't a very recent change, but over time, insurers have been putting in SMEs to help companies measure risk. They've been using third-party technologies to do risk scans, risk reviews. I'm trying not to use the name of a vendor as I articulate what they're doing, that type of stuff. They are absolutely looking at, can they technologically review that client prior to providing insurance? But I think the actual people buying the insurance need to get a little bit smarter about what they're buying, because the whole classic small print thing. Now, you can spend a huge amount, cover yourself for every eventuality, and the insurance company is going to give you a very, very unpleasant premium, frankly, to do that. Or you're going to scale it back and you're going to get something slightly less, but it's going to cover slightly less. Pretty basic economics and the way we all buy insurance, whether it be motoring insurance or household. The smart companies are going to be the ones that can measure their risk in their business, understand what they can mitigate through patching, changing configurations, deploying next-gen firewalls, whatever it may be, and then understand what residual risk is left at the back of that, then go to their insurers and say, that is what I want to insure, because the rest of it I've got a good handle on. I'm covered. Both the insurers are maturing the way they do it, but I think the buyers of insurance need to get smarter about what they're asking for and manage the risk in that residual component, which they just can't fix. It might be legacy kit. It could be all sorts of stuff.
How does the ROC help organisations to do that?
The ROC is a concept. There is a product behind it, but let's start at the top. It's a concept. It's a how do you go about driving organisational change to mitigate and reduce risk? How do you go about pulling in all the right people in the business that can actually make a significant step change? How do you empower them with the right data and the right context around that data so that they can make speedy, appropriate decisions? If you think about a SOC, we've been talking about SOCs for many years in cyber. Now, a SOC is typically post-incident. Something's happened. An alert has been triggered. The team is going to go out. They're going to investigate. They're going to triage. They're going to look for a way to mitigate whatever's happened. The ROC is looking proactively ahead to try and stop that alert ever happening in the first place. So it's a group of people focused on proactive risk mitigation. And if you empower them with the right data, they can make the right decisions to go after the biggest areas, biggest weaknesses in their technology structure to solve them prior to ever hitting the SOC. So it's a bringing together of people, minds and technology.
How does the ROC differ from traditional risk management or compliance management tooling? Or is there an overlap between them?
There's definitely a big overlap. If you look at risk management as a concept, every senior security leader has been doing it. It's their bread and butter. They've been calculating the risk. The problem has come is that it's very hard to quantify it sometimes. If you've got between 10 and 50 tools in the average enterprise that are doing some sort of security management, they all give you some slightly different flavor of what they believe the risk is in their space. And then the CISO has to draw the bits together and try and work out what this all means in real terms to them. That's the piece that Qualys wants to help solve. How do you bring together that disparate data from a risk perspective from multiple tools, normalize it, very importantly, enhance it with extra threat intelligence, business context, etc., and provide it back to that leadership team. I won't just say CISO because it could be at various roles. Bring it back to that leadership team so they can start to benchmark where they are against their peers, understand what they need to do to address it. That's the difference, is moving away from multiple tools to a single holistic view and way of measuring it without having to put a lot of guesswork into it, which I think is probably what's happened. From a compliance perspective, again, compliance is a byproduct for me. Compliance is looking from a technology perspective. Are we managing the risk in various components of our technology appropriately? Is it meeting the standards set by a third party, whether it be NIST, ISO, or DORA? If we're doing these things right, we're putting in place the right tooling, we should be able to achieve all of those mandates automatically. I know that's a big step forward, but if you start proactively managing this risk and monitoring it in the right fashion, you should be able to articulate how you're doing any of those mandates. And that also is part of the Enterprise True Risk Management platform that Qualys has built to enable that to happen.
And no conversation would be without the mention of AI. How is AI fitting into the ROC, both in terms of a technology it uses, and also how is it addressing the risk that's actually inherent within AI?
Yeah. I'll take the use of it within our platform first, if I may. And that is very much around how can we make better decisions? How can we prioritize the data better? How can we analyze it faster? How can we get better insights provided back to our customers? For example, in a traditional SIEM type technology, you would have hundreds of different events happening and you'll have someone building rules and correlation techniques. And frankly, they're probably out of date almost as you finish writing the last one. Can we use AI, and this is what we are doing, to bring those things together and look for toxic combinations of things happening in the business so we don't have to manually write these rules? You can use AI and machine learning to help drive that. That's very much what we're doing in the platform, helping drive those insights so organizations know if these things are happening, the potential outcome could be way worse than those individual component parts of an activity. So that's what we're doing in the platform. There's lots of other bits that we're doing as well from a technological perspective, which I won't go into. Managing the risk of AI, though, is a very different beast. So that's another area where we are pioneering. We're really excited about what we're doing. So the first thing is, if I ask a company and say, where is your business using AI and large language models today? And they all look at you, and I've done this a number of times, so I speak with a little bit of authority. They all say, well, we told the CIO or we told the CEO, whoever it may be, that we don't understand the risk of it and we can't measure it. And he said, too bad. We're deploying it anyway because it's too much of business benefit. So find a way of dealing with it, Mr. Security Guy. I've heard that now multiple times. And the other one is, we're sure we're using it, but we're not sure where it is, but we know it's being used somewhere. The first thing Qualys did is we said, okay, let's use our current scanning and agent technology to identify where these things are actually installed in our customers' environments. We're doing that already. And then what we're doing, once we've found them, we're overlaying from a kind of compliance perspective, what are the OWASP top 10 risks associated with those models? So we're overlaying that. We're looking at, is there bias built into the model? Are there vulnerabilities on the platform which allows someone to get into that system and change the outcome? Because I think we've all seen some of the chatbots, for example, that rely on this technology coming back with some rather spurious answers to people's questions. So we're using AI, but we're also looking at how we help organizations secure AI for the future.
I'm just wondering, obviously you're MD of North Europe and South Europe. In terms of the European countries, what variances are you seeing in attitudes towards risk and security risk?
I think everyone is on the same page. I really do. The level of investment available is different, without going into some of the European political challenges and what's going on in certain places. People are massively underfunded at the moment. The days of security being, I won't say blank check because it was never a blank check, but the budgets were always increasing, let's put it that way, for a number of years. I think that's gone away. Where I'm seeing the difference is people are using that risk lens to say, can I make more pertinent investments which help me to save money? It's not about spending more money. If I give an example, if I bring my data together, can I use an existing set of tools to carry out a task which another tool may be doing? The classic one is around the endpoint detection capabilities. How can I look and get better bang for my buck? Do I need to pay for the best endpoint detection product out there on the market, or can the one that comes second do a just as good a bang up job and protect my business, and can I save some money? Projects where people bought because it was top of the Gartner tree, I'm not sure are going to be there anymore. So people are using the risk lens to say, is it an acceptable level of risk if I move away from a particular technology, if I consolidate two technologies? If it doesn't break my risk profile, then it's a sensible business decision in the current economic climate.
One of the things when I was a CIO is that specifically around GDPR, business leaders weren't hugely interested in data leaks, except in a few circumstances, because A, it's whether it's a business risk, I have someone stolen our data to use and pitch to other people, and B, the fines weren't big enough. So when the fines became bigger, suddenly people started to sit up and take notice. Do those factors, as fines change and evolve, which they are doing constantly across Europe especially, is that something that's built into the ROC? Does it have that intelligence to realise, okay, so the new legislation coming in, are you building that in to increase risk profile?
When I talked about the loss metric, I talked about ransomware and about data loss. Regulatory is a line item that they can add into the ROC. You can make an educated guess around what potential risk is of getting a fine for data loss. So if I lose 10,000 records of IP, what is the potential fine based on, I think, is it 3% of my gross profit or whatever it is under the ICO now? You can start to make educated guesses around that, and you can factor that in, absolutely. But again, that's up to that business to calculate that, because it's not Qualys' place. That's not what we do. There are companies out that will help you do that, but we don't do that. But we give you the technological framework to put those numbers in that you calculate so you can start to measure it.
You talked about countries. What about industries? Where are you seeing the most traction for this across industries, and why they're really interested in it?
Financial organizations, obviously. They always run first to these types of things. There's logic in that, in that from a European perspective, with the DORA regulation, DORA is requested or mandated that organizations have a centralized understanding of their risk and vulnerabilities. Actually, it made a lot of sense for many of those to start looking at how we achieve this. So that has been a big driver. But we're also seeing telcos, especially UK telcos, with some of the legislation that's being mandated here around the Telecoms Act. So a lot of this is regulatory driven in terms of how we're doing it. But when you get down to those one-on-one conversations with those leaders who have to articulate these data to their boards, it's something that really pulls to their heartstrings, in that it's such a problem for them today because they're so worried about going to the board with data that's inaccurate. all aspiring CISOs wanted to say, I go to the board once a month and update them on our risk posture, and I tell them this and I tell them that. And then they get there and they get probably a rough ride. And that's typically because the messages they're sharing are not always aligned with the business messages that a board would expect to receive. So actually using the ROC to help them articulate that technological risk metric in a lens which they understand, which is numerical numbers against a financial impact, really helps them. So we're seeing not only just industries, but also individuals who have that challenge of going to the board and articulating that stuff.
For MSPs, what should be their approach? How can they build a practice? Because we've heard MSPs building security practice over the last few years. Should they be building a security risk practice as well? And how do they go about doing that?
I believe they are. They've very much made a reasonable living out of doing things like managed detection response, SOC services, monitoring SOCs, etc. But again, very much looking after the event. Whereas the bigger ticket items is how do we proactively go and remediate the issues that we're finding before they become problems? And so as an MSSP, if I was going into a client, I'd be very much saying, look, I can come in, I can monitor your stuff and tell you what's going on. But actually what I want to do is stop it happening in the first place. So can we look together where we could build services that actually drive real value? So you're not up at every Friday when something goes wrong on a Friday afternoon as per normal. So we're not having those incidents. I think if organizations go in and look at that and say, let's understand the inherent risk across your business based on the potential financial impact, and then work back what services you need to mitigate that, I think that is the approach that needs to be taken. Going in and saying, hey, I'm going to sell you an MDR service or a SOC service, I don't think that's the way any forward. I think we've got to come at it from a business lens and drive down to what they need from what is the actual problem.
What's next on the horizon for the ROC?
What we want to do is once we solve the threat landscape, if you like, the vulnerabilities, the configuration issues, the cloud security misuse, those types of issues, we're then going to start probably, and don't quote me on this, although this is clearly being recorded, we're going to look at how you bring in broader technological risk data. So bring in identity data, for example. Can we overlay the risk of a machine, someone with certain identity privileges being able to do something more than another user? It's highly unlikely that we're trying to become a business risk center. We're not trying to do that. We're very much looking at it from a technology lens, but we're really excited because we know what a big problem this is and how much there is to fix based on the conversations we're having our customers today.
Matt, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.